We're continuing our walk through the book of Acts this morning, seeking to discover life in the Spirit, similar to or identical to what these people did back in the first century. Today, September 22nd of 2019, I titled the message, Stephen is Seized, and we finish up Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. We'll spend the next few weeks looking at this man and his trial before the Sanhedrin. So, my outline is pretty simple. Stephen is seized, number one, Stephen and his witness, and number two, Stephen and the worldly. Those are the two points. So this is it, and I think this is us. See if you can see us in these scriptures today. Try to imagine why God is doing this. Why did he put all this text in here about this man named Stephen? There's got to be a point in the grand drama of all this, and my best idea is this. We met Stephen last week in Acts chapter 6, verse 5. They pick seven men. That plan seemed to please the whole group. They chose Stephen. He was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Now, Stephen didn't get to live with Jesus for 3 years like the apostles did. So when you look at the 11 apostles and then the chosen 12, they spent years, day in, day out with Jesus. But Stephen's like us. He's learning about Jesus and experiencing his life through the Holy Spirit. I think that's the point. I think that's why he's in here, and that's why so much of this text is in here. Because God wanted to show us that you didn't need to live with Jesus for 3 years, day in and day out, to experience the life that he offers. So, point number one, the witness. I brought in Eugene Peterson's Message translation because this first section with these freedmen was kind of confusing to me, and I thought, well, maybe this will help. So read the Message translation with me of Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Stephen, brimming with God's grace and energy, was doing wonderful things among the people, unmistakable signs that God was among them. So now this is the NIV Reader's version of that same text. Stephen was full of God's grace and power. He did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. That's the end. So, point A on your outline is Stephen was full of faith. Full of faith. And when you look at your outline, all four of those first blanks will be full. So, if you want to jump ahead, you can write full in all those blanks. But the first thing he was full of, according to the scripture, was faith. I think that's important for us to understand that that's a critical component of what's going on here. And in a few minutes, I'm going to define that a little better, but that's important. So, Stephen's faith was in God. Now, that sounds simple, but it's important for us to note. His faith was in a risen God. Why, you may ask, is it important? I took this, it's a quote. Faith in faith versus faith in God. There's a difference. The difference between faith found in the New Testament and faith found now is that faith in the New Testament actually produced something and there was a confirmation of it. Faith now is a beginning and an end. We have faith in faith, but nothing happens. They had faith in a risen Christ and something happened. That's the difference. And I took that from Mr. A.W. Tozier's book. What we see oftentimes in the culture we live in is we will sing about being people of faith. We will talk about being people of faith. But the practical reality is our faith doesn't generate the same effects that their faith did back then. And I think what's happened is We put confidence in that we have faith, but we don't target it correctly. If that makes sense. They used to say that if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And it's only until you put a target up with a bullseye that you actually see how well of a shot you are. Now, if we just say we have faith, that's what a lot of people say. But what if, like we're learning to pray in a different way, we learn to express our faith in a different way, that we complete that with, we have faith in a risen Christ, in a risen Savior, in a risen Jesus, in some way, shape, or form, that when we express the fact that we have faith, it is targeted at Jesus. B, Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. So he's full of faith, and he's full of the Holy Spirit. This lifestyle is available to you and I. The life that Stephen leads is available to you and me. God hasn't changed. The only catch is this. One must empty themselves to be filled with God's Spirit. There's the catch. To be full of all these four things that I've listed for us, one must empty themselves to make space for these things in their life. Are you willing to do that? It would mean giving up yourself. Last week we prayed Romans 12:1-2. That I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's great mercy, that we would present our bodies to Him a living sacrifice. C, Stephen was full of grace. So he's full of faith, he's full of the Holy Spirit, and he's full of grace. Jesus was full of God's grace. That is what the life filled with the Holy Spirit lives like. If you make the decision to, on a regular basis, empty yourself and ask for an ongoing filling and washing of the Holy Spirit, your life will become more graceful. And if you ever get to the point that Jesus was at, or in this case, Stephen is at, that you're full of that, your life will look just like Jesus' life will look. D, Stephen was full of God's power. So he's full of faith, he's full of the Holy Spirit, he's full of grace, and he's full of power. I listed this last because it's the least sought after of all the effects of God's Spirit. But I have known people in my experience that would like to have the ability to do the things that Stephen and the apostles did. They would like to be able to do that, like Simon the sorcerer. Give me this gift so I can do these things. But this is the least of these. To be able to demonstrate the power is the least of these gifts. Now, Stephen, brimming with God's energy and grace, was doing wonderful things among the people, unmistakable signs that God was among them. In the world we live in, these things don't happen. And I think it's because we are so full of other things that there isn't the ability to be full of faith, Holy Spirit, and grace, and experience the power that comes from that filling. Now, number two, Stephen and the worldly. I brought Eugene Peterson's message here in again, so read Acts chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 with me. But then some men from a meeting place whose members were made up of freed slaves, Syrians, Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, went up against him, trying to argue him down. But they were no match for his wisdom and the Spirit when he spoke. So this is the same passage out of the NIV Reader's Version. Read this with me. But members of a group called the Synagogue of Freedmen began to oppose him. Some were Jews from Crete and Alexandria. Others were Jews from Cilicia and Asia Minor. They began to argue with Stephen. But he was too wise for them. They couldn't stand up against his Holy Spirit who spoke through him. Then in secret, they talked some men into lying about Stephen. They said, "We heard Stephen speak evil things against Moses. He also spoke evil things against God." So the people were stirred up. The elders and teachers of the law were stirred up too. They arrested Stephen and brought him to the Sanhedrin. They found people who were willing to tell lies. The false witnesses said, "This fellow never stops speaking against this holy place. He also speaks against the law. We have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place. He says Jesus will change the practices that Moses had to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked straight at Stephen. They saw his face was like the face of an angel. The end. The freedmen. That was a little confusing to me, so I did some research. They were a group of Jews who had been slaves. They had been taken captives when Romans had conquered Israel. And this is how it worked. When the Romans conquered someone, they took the best of the best, the elite, the educated. They left the poorest of the poor, but they took the smart, educated elite. And the Roman practice was to relocate these slaves to a different country far away from their own. Then after about three generations, they let them go free. But by that time, their ties to Israel, for most of them, had been severed. And they were content to just be contributing components to the Roman Empire. And you looked at where they were. They took them to Asia. They took them to Alexandria. They took them to Syria. They took them to places a long ways away from their homeland. Now, some of these then had returned to Jerusalem and set up their own synagogue. So it's obvious that they had made real money in these other places. Enough money that they could relocate to Jerusalem and live a life where they just did church stuff all day. They had become that successful as parts of the Roman Empire. Now, A, the friction. Your blank is friction. The Holy Spirit was calling men and women to himself in great numbers. A good illustration would be like tossing a rock into a center of a still water pond. The ripples flow out in all directions. Have you ever done that around here? You find one of these little country ponds and you just can't help trying to skip a rock or see how far out there you can throw a big rock and then watching the waves. But what happens from that spot, the waves go out in all directions. Our little church is like that still water pond. We need the Holy Spirit to start ripples that flow out in all directions affecting our community. There's little doubt that we are still. Not a lot going on. And what we're asking the Holy Spirit to do is drop a rock into the pond and then send these ripples out. The captain obvious is that people were leaving the synagogue of free men and becoming born-again believers. Why was there this friction? They were losing people to this new church. That's why there's a conflict. There's a loss of members, which means there's a loss of cash flow, which means there's a loss of power, and that causes friction. I will guarantee if God throws a rock into the pond and people start leaving other churches and coming to our little church, it will cause friction. I know preacher boys. They like the ABCs, attendance, buildings, and cash. That's what preacher boys talk about. How many people they got coming, what new buildings they're building, and how much money they either get in their offerings or they have stashed away. That's what they talk about. And if people leave another church to come to ours, you lose the ABCs. You don't have the ability to build buildings anymore if people are leaving. Now, that's the conflict, I think. That's the friction. That was causing the conflict. People were becoming born again in mass numbers, and many of them apparently were from this freed slave synagogue. So, there's an age-old saying that goes something like this. If you can't win fair and square, cheat. You've heard that, right? If you can't win fair and square, cheat. And I think Satan penned that somewhere along the line. Right? If you can't win straight up and up, then figure out a way to cheat so you do win. Because the point is winning. Now, B, the frame up. So there was friction and a frame up. These men lied about Stephen, causing him to be arrested. Forced escort to the Sanhedrin is C. Force really isn't in the Bible. It's just a cool F word that I thought up and I couldn't avoid putting it in there. All of this section of your outline starts with an F, so I just couldn't leave it out. Now, the fabrication, D. So there was friction, there was fabrication, there was forced. Now, they fabricated lies. You may remember that Sadducees were the dominant party in the Sanhedrin council right now. You may remember that. It's just like our government, it changes. When the powers that be in Springfield change from what they were, things change. But this time, Sadducees were the chief priest and the controlling component. Sadducees only accepted the writings of Moses, so their whole Bible was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And for the most part, all good Sadducees had memorized those five books. Not just chapters, but the whole blinking book. Writings weren't available then like now. So oral translation was how you communicated, so you would learn a book of the Bible, and so when it was church time, people would take turns getting up. I did Romans 12, 1 and 2 for you, which is nothing compared to the book of Genesis. Deuteronomy, oh my goodness. Now, so how would one get their attention? Simple. Mess with Moses. How would you get these guys flared up? If you were the synagogue of freed slaves and you wanted to get their attention and you wanted to do something, what do? You just mess with Moses. In their world, that could be the death penalty. The Sadducees took Moses and his writings very seriously, and if you mess with them, it could be fatal. They would stone you. Now, Jesus and Stephen are both brought before the Sanhedrin. There's a similarity here, and there was a conspiracy and false testimony about both of them in their cases. Do you remember the testimony against Jesus on the night he was betrayed? They brought people, and they couldn't get their stories straight. They couldn't find anything, and finally they just asked him straight out, "Are you the Son of God?" And he said, "Yeah." And that was what killed him. Blasphemy. Now, so both of these have a similar pattern. Now, God's obviously got a point to that part of his drama. And if you figure it out, I'll be glad to hear it, because I haven't figured it out yet. Now, the interesting thing is that these false witnesses are prophesying what was going to happen. Think about it. Jesus did say God will destroy the temple. And he did in 70 AD. The last week Jesus was alive, he said, this is all going to be torn down and not a stone will be left on top of another. And I've been to Jerusalem and they did it. Now, Jesus did change the practices that Moses handed down. when the temple was destroyed, now Jewish people can no longer offer a sacrifice. So the blood sacrifices went away when the temple went away. And these false witnesses God's using to produce the truth in front of these people. E on your outline, the face of an angel. Some of you probably already guessed that blank. John MacArthur writes, a face of an angel is calm, unruffled composure, reflecting the presence of God. So it wasn't hard for me to think of, yeah, calm. You know, angels don't get ruffled. They have composure. But the important part was the reflecting God's presence. So I started thinking, angels reflect on the glory of God because time in his presence, right? When Moses would spend time with God, when he come out, his face would glow. And he actually began to wear a veil so that people couldn't see that the glory was fading. Why did the glory fade? Because he wasn't spending time in the presence. If we invested more time in his presence, would we reflect this too? I think so. I think if we diligently spent more time in his presence, our faces, our lives would be more like that of Stephen's angels and Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us Brother Stephen. Thank you for giving us his testimony that a man listening to the teachings of the apostles about Jesus Christ and his resurrected life could experience being born again, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and do amazing things. God, would you please help us to empty ourselves so that we could be filled with faith? Father, would you help us remove the dark spirits that so easily entangle our lives in this world so we could be filled with your Holy Spirit? Father, would you bless us, please, with the grace that you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit live in? Would we put aside our standards, expectations, judgments, criticisms, and live in the light of your amazing mercy and unmerited grace in our lives? Thank you, Father, for giving us this testimony. And thank you for writing way ahead of time what was going to happen so that we could increase our faith in your word. And we could truly be what we just sang about, men and women. Men and women of faith and of your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.